Is it women or ladies? Ladies Shia, women Shia. Chavis Halavas, Shar HaBechina, which is Chavis Halavas' whole view of the world and what we're doing here. So we learned the Hakdama, and we're going to start Perek Aleph. Be'ezus Hashem. The Hakdama was why he wrote it, the bridge between seeing Hashem and recognizing his goodness and therefore feeling gratitude, and why he had to write it, because people are blind. He wrote reasons why they're blinded and why they don't just walk around with this immense feeling of gratitude all the time, recognizing Hashem in everything they see. We went through all of that, I don't want to repeat it. And now he's going to, now comes Shar HaBechina. And the first perek is, what is it? What are we doing when we do Bechina? Bechina is either contemplation or examination or analysis or, I guess examination is, we know the word Bechina from examination. It means to contemplate and to examine, to reflect upon what we see. Amar HaMechaber in Perek Rishon. Ach mohus ha-bechina, the essence of bechina. I'm walking in the street. What am I looking for? In the Hakdama, he talked about it in general. Now, although this is always, we say, a workbook, so now it's the training. This is what your goals are. This is what you want to accomplish. The Hakdama was in general, now it's specific. He his bonein b'simonei chochmas habore bebruim, to examine, to reflect upon, to see, to recognize the immense wisdom and plan and design, really, and purpose. Well, let's put away purpose for a moment. The design and the complexity of everything in the Bria that shows us that there's a creator that created it. The Simone Chochmas Habore, things that reflect the immense wisdom of the obvious creator. It's you see wisdom and you see complexity and you see design and plan and purpose. So there's a creator, but you see the wisdom of the creator. V'sha'aram b'nefesh, and this either means visualization, or maybe it means analysis. V'sha'aram b'nefesh k'fi koach ha'koras ha'mavchin. Obviously, a 15-year-old doing this, you know, will not do it as well or as deeply or as all-encompassing, and as the older we get, maybe the Chavis HaLavas makes an assumption, the wiser we get and we acquire wisdom, so we do it better, we do it in a better way, we do it now. I'm saying now with the wisdom of modern day science and the tools that are available to us, we could really do it, I mean, in a way that the Chavis HaLavas could only like dream about. But he says k'vikor ha-kar so-mavchin, you know, a little or a lot. Ki ha-chochma, the wisdom that is reflected in the Bria, the imsi moneho nechlokim bebruim, this is very important. Even though there's all types of bruim out there, there's animals, there's plants, there's stars, there's millions and millions and millions of things out there. Leaves, grass, an apple, a banana, my eye, so many different things. He be a soda v'ikra achas. See, what he's going to do in Perek Aleph is show us. This is the Perek Aleph is almost somewhat philosophical. He says, look, I walk into the Bria and I see millions and millions of things. So my first inclination, perhaps, there's an Asayon right there. Because I want to, what the Torah, what Chazal, what the Chavis Halvavis want us to see is that there's Hashem and Hashem Echad and that there's one Borei. And maybe my first inclination, and this was really the Avodah Zarah almost held this as a Shita, that if there's Or and Choshech and there's plant life, and the Greek had gods for everything. The Greek had a god of water and a god of fire, and they saw in the different forces in the Bria and the different aspects of the Bria, they, and this is the Nisayon, this is what he's going to say, they saw different Elohus, Chas v'Shalom, they saw different powers, and each power has his fiefdom, I think it's called, F-I-E-F-D-O-M, am I pronouncing it right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And it's competing powers, and, you know, maybe the god of fire is stronger than the fire of water is stronger than the god of fire, and this is a Nisayon, but we... And he's going to explain the philosophical why it's philosophically right the way we're supposed to look at it, the way a Torah true Jew is supposed to look at it. But why is there so much complexity? You know, why are there so many different things? Do we really need a Macintosh apple, you know how many species of mosquitoes there are, how many species of cockroaches, maybe we don't want to think about that because they're all in my kitchen, but how many species of apples there are, I mean, so first of all, it's like Hashem, it's almost as good as pomegranate, I mean, in the world, right? You walk down the aisle and you get all these different things. You get barbecue potato chips and barbecue crunchy potato chips and barbecue crunchy hot potato chips. That's, the Bria is like that. See, these are all artificial by people, but the Bria has every shade of taste. You have bittersweet. I mean, go look up tonight how many species of apples there are, how many species of fruit there are. So we walk out and we see, the multiplicity of things in the Bria is astounding, is overwhelming. And whatever we come across and see and experience is a tipa shabiyam of what's there, because if you start thinking how many species there are, and how many permutations there are, and different, it's just overwhelming. So if the signs of wisdom result in different things that are created, he be a soul of the ikra achas. We will see, because everything works together, and how things get their food, and how photosynthesis work, and how things grow, and how the soil grows with the sun and the wind and the rains and forest fires, and things, they work in tandem. The Bria works. The Bria, so we see the source of it all as one. Kashemesh, like the sun, for example, Asher he achas beikro ba'atzma, the sun obviously has rays of, it's giving off light. But when the rays are seen through a prism, if it goes through a pane of glass, and one glass is white, and one glass is green, and one glass is blue, so then the sun's rays will look different to the observer. Right? That's how I'll experience the sun's rays in different ways, because it's going through panes of glass that are colored. Umischalkim maros nitzotzeho, that means the sun's rays, bishmoshos hanasos minaschuchis halavona, white glass, vashchora, vaduma, red, vayiroka, green, umishtana ora, and I look as if the sun's light is different. Kefi hishtanus tzivei haschuches. In other words, there's Hashem. And Hashem's, in his wisdom, created, it's all coming from one source. And kefi his chachma, he wanted, that's his marshal, it's like the sun, and it created all these different things. The reason we know it's one is because everything works so beautifully together. So we see that it's all coming from one source, and we see it's all chesed, and we see it's all there for a purpose, and everything has its purpose in this larger Bria. So we're supposed to perceive that there's a master planner here. It's not that one intelligence, Chas V'Shalom, made this thing, and one intelligence made that thing. If you would have that, then if there would be no one like pulling it all together and making it work. If everybody just plays their own music, then it can't be an orchestra. There has to be someone that writes the score and assigns each player in the orchestra a place, and then it all plays together. The Bria definitely, says an honest examiner, sees the whole Bria working together. Just simple, any simple thing we examine, like a person talking and sound waves and hitting the eardrum, the ear is designed to catch sound, but the sound is produced by someone. Like, how do they get together? Like, they had to get together, that the sound that I produce with my talking how the ear works, and that's why people can hear me. So that's what we're supposed to. There's like one simple example out of billions of complex ones. Right? How the bee knows where the flowers are, everything works together. So he says, the more you examine the Bria, the more sophistication you show in examining the Bria, in the more sophisticated way that you examine the Bria, you will see that everything's working in tandem. And therefore, even though we see so many different things, and we might be tempted in a cursory, superficial way to say, oh, so there's the God of Macintosh apples and the God of Delicia apples, or whatever kind of apples there are, green apples, red apples, yellow apples. But he says, but when you see that the Bria is working together, so that he gives two mashalim. One is the sun, that the rays go through, depending on the Makabel, her rays might experience it differently based on where they're standing or based on what it passes through and how it manifests itself. So Hashem is Hashem, right? And the Tanya describes it as, since Hashem is all encompassing, and then he chooses to allow a little of himself to be, so to speak, to be an apple. That results in an apple, and this results in a pear, and this results in a fish, and this results in a rhinoceros. And it's all different. The Mekablim experience Hashem differently, and it results, and it starts off, and then there's a long chain, and then it ends up as Hashem, because Hashem wanted the Bria to have something for everybody. Hashem wanted the Bria to reflect. Well, he's going to get to that in a second, why Hashem chose to do this with this Nisayon, instead of just making a one-dimensional world. Meaning one-dimensional, I mean a simple world, like with one fruit and one vegetable and one grain. And so the example is like the sun. Uchamayim, he says, water, this is the second example. Shemashkin mehen ha-pardes, you could water a garden, and the flowers have different colors. Now, the water is water. The water is not colored. yet it's creating more purple flowers and more red flowers and more lilacs and more everything. It's the same water. The water's making it grow. Each thing is different, and the water is the same. Teprochav shonim zem izeh b'marah sheheim nirim aleihem b'marehem. Okay. So realize when you walk outside and you see so many different things, realize, and upon examination you will see that it's all coming from one source. Because, as I say, it all works together. The wind has to know, the rain has to know the wind and the, what's it called, in the flower, the wind carries it, and the bee has to chap what's going on, pollen, and we'll see many examples of this in Perek Dalet. I think it's Perek Dalet where he gives us like around 50 to 70 examples of Bechina, like what to do.
As Rabbi Milinovitz, when you get down to the molecular level, everything does work in the same way.
We're able to see that. We see that everything is really built, is structured the same. It's a question of how many, you know, how many molecules are lined up or whatever. In fact, if you saw to see this slideshow, right, where it shows you like it goes up into outer space and then it goes down into the DNA level, it's eerily the same at the end. They look the same. In other words, the farthest reaches of outer space looks the same as the submicroscopic level of a DNA molecule. It's amazing how. And really experience what the Chavis Lovitz is talking about. You see, like, wow, it's designed the same. It looks the same. You know, it looks like a little chain that the kids make at day camp. Al kein, therefore, his bonein b'briyas habore, he's urging us. By the way, maybe we should mention, Rav Sadia Gaon says that if you look at Rav Sadia Gaon, who was Chavis Lovitz's Rebbe, says when you look at the Bria, you see that everything is designed. The Bria means earth. We're on earth. Everything we look at is vis-a-vis earth. He says everything is designed to give life. We're the planet that has soil. We're the planet that has winds. We're the planet that has water. It's designed to give food, or plants to give clothing, oxygen to breathe. So he pinpoints that the unifying force is chayim, is life. It's giving off life. That's what they're all designed to do. Everything is working to produce either food. He says the main thing is food. Even the ocean, the fish, I mean, it's food. It's food for the Bria. Everything is for food. To some degree, it's clothing. And other worlds don't have soil. Soil is like a special kind of earth that things can grow in it. And you can make clay and build. Soil is like has a lot of things in it. And other worlds don't have that. So if Sadia Gaon puts the chesed of the world in that everything is designed to sustain life, or to give life, to sustain life. Okay, so therefore, back to the Chavis Halvavos, Al Kain. Therefore, his bonein b'brios habore miktonon v'ad gdolon. Look at the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't let anything escape your examination. Look at the smallest creature, and again, in the days of the Chavis Halvavos, the smallest creature was probably a louse. Probably was the smallest creature. But he didn't know from what they didn't know from atoms, molecules, quarks. They didn't know from these things. Of course not. I mean, they knew. I think the smallest thing. The Gemara talks about. When we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, if you say that by Shema Koleinu, mi beit zekinim ad karnei re'emim, from the smallest to the biggest, so they talk about the louse. You know, the Hashem has food. I think the Torah Tidbits has a feature every few weeks about how specific creatures get their food. And like it's, if you read Torah tidbits, so it has like, first of all, it takes some animal that you never heard of, you never saw, and you don't know how to spell. And it's a very complex system how it gets its food. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu really provides food for every Bria, and all in a different way. It's fascinating. You could spend the rest of your life studying how every animal gets its food. And it's just... it's amazing. So examine it. V'hisyashev b'nela mimcha. And look at things that till now you have not understood, you never thought about it. Timtzeim, you will see, kasher siparti loch, be'ezus Hashem. You will see what I'm saying, that you will see a unifying source of power. You will sense, first of all, you'll see tremendous chachma, and you won't fall. Again, he's like saying, don't fall into the trap that it's adarabah, that it's chaos, or it's avodah zarah, because everything's different. But the more you examine it, you'll see that everything has plan and purpose, and it works together. So why did Hashem do that? He's bothered by now. What? So you could say, he doesn't say it here, you could say it's a chesed Hashem. Rashi, you know, Rashi, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that the reason for the multiple things in the Bria is to inspire us to praise Hashem. And you would really expect Chaim Salvatos to say that, but he comes up with a much more philosophical reason here. But we could sum up what we're going to learn today really as, I want to say over Rashi, it's an important Rashi. Rashi says that the reason is he particularly concentrates on fish and birds. Like, who need, like, what are you, there's so many birds for? Just Alfred Hitchcock can make a movie. And all these fish, you know, everybody, birds, scary movie. But it's good for Shara Bechina. Like, you see, it's amazing. It's like, why don't they do that, Taka? Because it says, "Umarachem v'chitchem yiyal kol chayas asoda." Because Hashem made a gzera when He made the world, that the animals are scared of the people. That's why. That's the only reason. But you see, there's so many kinds of birds, and there's so many, and then the migration. Hopefully, we'll do it. I mean, we'll do it, and we'll if you spend 15 minutes a day on it, it transforms your whole attitude. And then when you get a flat tire, you laugh at the flat tire. If you examine the Bria for 3 months and you see such chesed and wisdom and complexity and design and purpose and form, and then you get a flat tire, you laugh. Your mamish laugh, really. You like, this is nothing. Besides the fact that you're supposed to handle it by realizing, because you're so full, you're so convinced by then that Hashem is a meitiv and everything is done with such complex wisdom in order that things work and things be good and provide food or pleasure. Just to see a peacock, you know, just every kind of pleasure is here in this world. So this is what he said in the Hakdama, that we focus, when something goes wrong with our lives, we focus on that. But it's so silly, because if we counted from one and we kept counting till for the rest of our lives, we could not enumerate the chasodim and the complexity of the Bria that Hashem made to be meitiv to us, and that we're privy to. And that's what we say in Nishmas, in Anachnu Maspikim, L'Hodos L'Cha Hashem Elokeinu V'Kei V'Oseinu, Al'achas Me'olof Alfei Alof, V'Ribei V'Vosom V'Tavashu V'Sumim V'Sinim V'Anu. So Rashi says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that the reason, what he's going to deal with that question now. Why did Hashem do that to us? Why did Hashem make such a complex world with the Nisayon of the God of darkness and the God of light and the God of apples and the God of bananas? It's an Nisayon. And you have to, he says, if you examine it, you'll see what I'm telling you, that everything works. And there's obviously someone in charge of everything that's making everything happen. But why the Nisayon? So Rashi, so first of all, you can say it's a Nisayon. That's life, it's a Nisayon. Because this Yigad doesn't say. He gives a very philosophical answer. One could say it's a Nisayon, and that's what the word Olam is from, the word Helam. And Hashem hid himself. He didn't want to be open in this world. This is probably the only world, the world and maybe the other planets. I mean, after a certain point, we talk about Shemayim and Aretz, but after a certain point, Hashem is not Begoli anymore. The Malachim experience Hashem Begoli. They don't experience him, you know, Mesharos of Shoalim Zelo Se Aye Mekom Kvodo. They don't experience Hashem either, fully, of course. Aye Mekom Kvodo. They don't. And then you have different levels of Malachim. The Rambam counts out a hierarchy of 10 levels of Malachim, and each one experiences more Elokus. Each one experiences more Elokus. We're very low. The Olam is from the word Helam, hidden, and Hashem made a world in which he's hidden. That's the Chiddush. But we're the center of the universe. It's like, we should be very proud of ourselves. Right? The Nefesh HaChayim describes, and this is a basic Jewish thought, is that everything is dependent on us. We have to make the break. That's why Shara Bechina is so important, really. He doesn't even talk about that. I'm saying it. You know, Shara Bechina is so important because the whole Bria is waiting for us. We will bring the Bria to its shleimus when we make this breakthrough and see Hashem. Hashem's hiding. Hashem's playing hide and seek with us. He really is. He's hiding himself. And he wants us to seek him out. That's what Shara Bechina is. He wants us to seek him out and to see him. And when we do, it's like so obvious. You know, like when you find something, you say, it was staring me in the face the whole time. That's Hashem. He says, well, it was staring me in the face the whole time. It's so obvious. And the ones that are kofrim, it's also very clear. It's because they want to have a hefker life. Because this baggage that comes along, the baggage is that he tells us how to live. The irony is that he tells us how to live also only for our own good. Because what does he tell us to do? Even on a very, very mundane level, which you're nearly not allowed to say. Right? If you remember in Shara Avodas Elokim, the Chovas Halvavos was not happy with people that say that the Torah creates the perfect society. But it does. It's so much more than that, but on a certain level it's certainly true, whether it's the economic system of the Torah or the political system of the Torah or the marital system in the Torah. It's the perfect society. You say, what, a man's allowed to marry two wives? No, they didn't do it that often, and it certainly solves the shidduch crisis, I'll tell you that. But there's adjustments. I don't know how to look at it. The Torah was certainly given to an agricultural society. There's no question about that. There's nothing wrong with saying that. That the Torah, with Trumas and Maisras and the whole Bikurim, I mean, you see, the Torah was, and Karbonos, I mean, animals were pervasive in society. Animals were, people had animals, and they looked at it like substitute. You know, when you sacrifice an animal, you're supposed to really feel that you're giving up your life. That's the Ramban. I mean, it's because they lived with animals, and animals provided them with life. They milked the cows. Animals were their way of, this is almost like a PC. I mean, it was like, this is my link to life. And, you know, now we deal with inanimate objects. It's sad. It's sad. Like, at one point in history, Hashem decided that we're not zochet to have slaves anymore. We're not in a madrega that we can enslave another human being. I don't know. We're all liberal here. I have to be careful what I say. But there's no question that in the Torah, there's slaves in the Torah, servants, slaves. And there's a pecking order, no question about it. There's like there's a pecking order in the Bria. But then at some point, an adjustment was made. There's no question. If you see, Chavis HaVavis is going to teach us how to do Bechina in history. And you see in the flow of history that slavery became like abhorrent. And it was abolished and abhorrent. It was done. It's not an accident. There's no accidents in the Bria. It's people it's lost like the schus to enslave other people. Our madrega fell. No longer is it right for one person to enslave another because we're just not on that madrega. We don't have the right to do that. And then we didn't even have, it's sad, then we lost the right to enslave animals with the Industrial Revolution. I mean, not the right, but society changed, and now we don't enslave animals either. I'm not even talking about PETA. I mean, come on. PETA? Oh, come on. Those kooks, you know, PETA? What does it stand for? For the treatment of animals, people against the equitable treatment of animals. They're the ones that made all the trouble for Rabashkin. They're the ones against Shechita. They mean well. Maybe they mean well. I don't know. There's certainly, look, nobody has to lecture to us about Tzar Balei Chaim. We were first with Tzar Balei Chaim. And there's no question that the way they treat, you know, the way they make veal or the chickens, it's horrible. It should be, it's usher. But that you're talking about Israel, the Torah. No one has to lecture to a from Jew about Tzar Balei Chaim. But the idea that we enslave animals and animals work for us, not anymore. I mean, not in, there's still societies that do it, of course, but like in the bulk, you know, where the action is in the world. It's like we lost the schus to enslave people, and then we lost the schus to enslave animals even. We're not much better than the, that's what Hashem's telling us. We're not much better than the animals. Like maybe the horse should be threshing with you. Who says you should be threshing with the horse? So it's sad. It's not okay, but that's the flow of history. I'm saying there are adjustments made, and the adjustment in marriage, and the adjustments in women's rights. That's, you know, everything is ruined by people who want to use it, just like. I said Freud, like he wanted to use it to say there's no Bechira, really. I don't know about him, but certainly the train of thought was no Bechira, and the train of thought of the feminist movement was that there's no difference between man and woman. No one in the Torah and the Chesh HaMishpat, there's no grounds to give a woman less pay than a man. It was never even a problem. It never occurred to anybody that you pay a woman less than a man. They're equal. They have equal rights on Chesh HaMishpat. It's not an issue. They have equal rights. They have monetary rights. Okay, that's a different talk. But Al Kaponim, so really, let's back up here. I'm not going to get to the Chesh HaVodos today. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah says that the varied Bria that we see, the multiplicity, the complexity, all these things that we see, is to inspire us to praise Hashem. Like, wow, look how many kinds of cockroaches there are. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How many kinds of butterflies there are. It's like, really, if you have it, it's like amazing, amazing. And each one's a little different, and ants, like, you know, what's that movie's name? The ant story, something like that. People are maratsim. There's like a whole movie, a cartoon about ants. Like, but you see mamish how they it's like true. It's like that's how they work. Ants is like a whole society. It's a whole society. Bees are a whole society. Everything is really bears, lions. You know, every group of animals has a different word in English. I just don't know what it is. I think it's a like a den of lions, a pack of wolves, a colony of ants. There's like a word for each for each group. So Rashi says to inspire us to praise Hashem when we're like overwhelmed with the Bria. It seems to me we could simply say it's Taka Nisayon and it's Helam, because the Chavis Havada says it's a problem. It's a Nisayon. He has to explain why Hashem did it, because he says there's a problem, or else we see chaos. But then, upon examination, you see it's not chaotic. That's his point. You know, like this, you know, well, at first glance, it seems that certainly doesn't look like this one. It's like if someone walked in, you walk to a building site. Oh, you walk to a building site. So it looks like there's no one in charge. Everybody's doing what they want. This worker's doing this. This worker's doing this. This worker's stealing some. Everybody's doing what they want. But then if you examine it, if you do bechina on it, all of a sudden, no, there's someone in charge. And this one's doing this, and this one's doing that. And it's all going to come together and build a building. Right? But you have to have an intelligent eye and know something about building to see it. So really, and it's a very common idea that Olam is Helam, and this is say, and our job is to see Hashem and to praise Hashem after we see him, or maybe even before we see him, but we know he's there. And really, like from the Nefesh HaChaim's perspective, the whole world is waiting for us do that. They're dependent on us, and if the world gets closer to Hashem, or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, is dependent on us. They're waiting for us. Now, it should have been the whole human race. This is another part of Bechina's history. There should have been the whole human race. Sadly, Adam HaRishon messed up, so to speak, and then the Dor HaMabul and Dor Enosh would have Avodah Zarah. So, and then Avraham Avinu appears on the scene, and we take over, the Jewish people. Now you thank Hashem. You thank Hashem that it's up to us. So that's another. But the Chavis Haldovitz gives a very philosophical reason. I think it is. Maybe you won't feel that way. It gives like a very, I think, like he waxes philosophical, and he says, If the simonim of Hashem would be al derech achas bebruim kulam, right? It would be one apple, one orange. I don't know. Hashem would have to choose between a bird and a mammal, right? How are you going to have kids and how are you going to feed them? You're going to feed them through nursing. That's a mammal. Or you're going to feed them, I don't know, however the bird with chickens hatch them. I don't know how that works. But there's no nursing by birds, right? That's what defines almost a mammal, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the mammal is defined by the nursing?
Yes. Except for the platypus.
What?
Except for the platypus.
Okay.
No, the platypus feeds. It has eggs, but it feeds us.
So why didn't Hashem just make one way? Why didn't he make one stop shopping? Right, like in communist Russia. There's only one sneaker, and that's the sneaker you're going to buy, right? L'hoya and yonam is topical echad mehem. Then everybody would see that there's Hashem echad. There's only one. V'hoya ha-maskil daksil, and the wise person and the foolish person would both see Hashem equally, because there's no nisayon. But there's a reason. It says such an interesting thing. Okay, the Shara Bechina basically is not so philosophical. The Perek Aleph, it is. He says a very, very fascinating idea. He says the following, it's like a philosophical idea. If you walk into a factory and
They're producing one thing and one thing only, and there's no change. The same brick over and over and over, and there's no change. That's all they're producing. She says, then that's what they have to produce. If the factory workers would have free will and had the koach to do whatever they wanted, then you could be sure there would be square bricks and round bricks and triangular bricks and colored bricks and two bricks as one, and it would be like everybody, self-expression, everybody would. So he says, Hashem is showing us that he can do what he wants. That a man puts on tefillin, so we say every day, Vashalo HaKoach VaMemshalo BeElyonim UveTachtonim Lasos Behem Kiritzono. There's a paragraph we say before, if you get to Davin, there's a bracha that ends up, Baruchat Hashem HaKadesh Hashem Chabar Abim. You might have noticed it on your way to Kriya Shema. And after that, there's a paragraph, Atohu Hashem Elokeinu B'Shemayim B'Vorez V'Shmei Shemayim Elyonim Emes Atohu Yishom B'Toh Achron V'Maladecha Ein Elokim. So there also it says, Hashem can do what he wants. It's like, it sounds like a dictator, but there's the idea that Hashem has free will, though it's very important, because our free will is our Tzelem Elokim. And Hashem, and that's a major, major underpinning of Avodah Zorah, of some forms of Avodah Zorah, is that Hashem also has to perform a certain way, because there's really a power, whether it's nature, like Hashem is also like Chas V'Shalom limited, and you know, has to do what he does. And when you see like one thing that's always produced, this is what it means to you, that that's nature, this is what it is. The wheat seed will always produce a wheat, that's nature. But if the wheat seed had free will, so it would decide, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. Right, a servant lives a very boring, monotone life. Right? The servant does, what he does. But when you have, Hashem wants to show, this is what the Chavis HaLova says. Hashem is showing, again, I'm used to the idea because I say every day, Ashalo HaKoach VaMemsholo Lasos Bohem Kirtzono. Hashem can do what he wants. So Hashem wants this multiplicity. Everything's different. Whether it's animals or plants or birds or bugs or people and so many species, and like there's no, Hashem is always out of the box. There's no box. Hashem is not in the box. Hashem is by definition out of the box. That is what the Chavis HaLova says, that is the reason to show that we should experience that we should see that. That's the reason there's such a variation in the Bria. Even though it carries within it, says the Chavis HaLova, the sakana, that we see chaos. But since, if you examine it, you'll see tremendous order, and you'll see tremendous sidur, and tremendous ti'um of things working together. And then you say, well, wow, Hashem has no limits. Hashem is not limited. Hashem could get down to the DNA particle and quarks and beyond, and then there's the stars and the galaxies, and there's no limit, and it's hot and it's cold, and there's green apples and purple apples. That's what he says. So really there's three ideas. We have Rashi, that says it's to be astounded by the Bria and to be inspired to praise Hashem. Then there's our idea that I think is really Judaism 101, that Hashem is hidden from us, and that's part of the Nisayon, that Hashem should be hidden. And we don't want him to be. I mean, he didn't want to be Begalui. He created a world of Helam where he's hidden, and the task of this round globe, it's really amazing. Finding the earth in a picture of the universe is almost as hard as finding Israel on a map of the world. Almost as hard. And the astronauts are always like so overwhelmed when they see space, and they see the globe, and that's where all the action is. And Hashem made a breeze. It's really amazing, and we're lucky enough to be here. Like, we could have been a rock on Mars. Like, doing nothing. Just sitting there. Not nothing, but certainly not as exciting as sitting in this living room. Eating very delicious cookies. And we're able to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So that's what he said. And then the Chavish HaLdovus really gives the most, I think it's the most esoteric, abstract idea. Then for sure we would know Hashem, there's one Hashem. But instead of making the turn that we did and said that's and saying that's precisely why he didn't do that, he says, so why didn't he do that? The reason is, there's something that's so like monotonously constant. And then you start talking about Mother Nature or some force that, you know, this is the way things are. This is the way things are. Ahu osa betivo shahut balo bilvat. So whatever its nature is, that's what it produces. And there's no variations. The yeshlo machriach, there's an outside force that's compelling it. Shemachricho alamaisehu. Vein lo yecholas l'shanos mimenu. And you can't break out of the box. Ka'esh, like a fire. A fire can only burn. That's it. It can't do anything else because fire is not free to do what it wants. So it can only burn. So even if you have the Greek conception, not chas v'shalom, but this is what he's saying. He's turning and saying, with the Greeks, you have this conception of the god of fire. He's not much of a god because all he can do is make fire and burn. So what kind of a god is that? He's like limited. He burns, you know, that's... V'chamayim, asher he mekarim betivon belevad, v'asher hu osa kecheftso, someone or something, some power that's free to do whatever it wants. Yiru mimenu, you will certainly see ma'isim mishtanim be'itim mishunos. You'll see a day and it's night and it's rain and it's snow and it's sleet and it's hail and it's windy and it's hot and it's that's out of the box. That's the yisod. Hashem wants to be out of the box. That's what he's saying. Does his free will, and really there's a. And now we realize that our free will is a tzelem elokim. This is like shtickle heavy stuff. Hashem is not compelled, and of course Hashem, no one's sitting with a gun to Hashem's head. It means no such thing as nature. Now you can appreciate the Ramban when the Ramban says Neis and Teva doesn't really exist. If you follow the Chavis Halvavus and you get used to the idea that the variations in the Bria show you that Hashem's doing whatever he wants, and then all of a sudden the Yamsuf splits, you go, why not? Hashem's not in the box. Hashem doesn't... In the whole Bria, I've got, according to the Chavis Halvavus, when I finish my training and I get my degree in Shara Bechina, some will say, of course Hashem will split the Yamsuf. Like, yeah, Hashem will give Sora a child at the age of 9. Like, why not? He does what he wants. I'm so like comfortable with the idea that there's no such thing as nature, and there's no Hashem is Hashem. So then I could reach the Madrega where I could really, really have internalized what the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo, that it's all meis and teva, just words we use. There's no difference. There's nothing. It's not harder for Hashem to split the yam than it is that there's a law of gravity. It's all the same. So he says, "Ve'enu muchrach." Nothing is compelling Hashem. And again, you got to realize this is a depth. It's not that no one's standing with a gun to Hashem's head. Hashem has no head, and there is no gun. It means there's no mother nature. There's no teva. There's no way in. Everything is ratzon Hashem. Hashem does what he wants. It sounds crude, but it's very important. Very important point. V'lo tzorich, v'lo mutba. That's the word teva. Also, hadvorim mishtanim zemizeh. So he deliberately, if you pardon the term. That is what he's saying. He deliberately made all these things different. Kefisha mechayev es chachmoso, it's all rational. Don't think for a second it's chaotic. It's all rational, and there's a reason for everything. And it's to give pleasure, and then everything works, and it works together. But he structured the world in this way, even though there's an asoyon of the chaos, is to show, and that Adarabba was supposed to see a Hashem that is not in the box. Really, that's the greatest word. That he's out of the box. There is no box. Let's finish the perek, please. I'm sorry, it's late. Kedesha Torah Hishtanusum, so that their variations will show, ironically, Al Achduso, that Hashem Echad. Because you see, everything's working together. Now, you might say, how do you see that? Well, that's what you have to learn Shara HaBechina for. And again, we are so right. His first sentence in Perek Aleph was the amount that you're able to, and it must be said we are so far advanced nowadays. What we're able to do, we don't do it because we're too busy with the MP3s. But if we would do it, we would put the Chavisal Vodas to shame. He thought he saw Hishtanus in the Bria, and wisdom in the Bria, and complexity in the Bria, and design in the Bria, like baby stuff. Now maybe Hashem, there's a reason. Again, Shara Bechina applies to history too. In tandem with Darwin, with people just assumed there was always a Boreolum. So I would suggest that with the Epicursus of Darwin, I don't care what the person Darwin meant, but certainly it created a ruach that there's no bore directing everything. It certainly created that ruach, just like Freud created a ruach that a person doesn't have free will. He created that ruach. So maybe Hashem always balances things. It's called Zelu Umaze Asalokim. It's based on a pasuk. So the balance is that we're able to, if you really want to see Hashem, so don't get caught up in science and that denies Hashem. Don't get caught up, because use science and you'll see Hashem in a way that they never could before. Right? You look at a DNA molecule, you see Hashem, boy. You see Hashem. It's unbelievable. And then we see Hashem. And everything is rational and ordered. Kamo she'amar, kol asher chafetz Hashem also b'shamayim uva'aretz. See, it's here. We say it in Tillim, Kuf Lamed Hey. That's right before Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Yolam Chasdo. See, I quoted what I say when I put on tefillin. But really, this pasuk, everybody's going to put it on the tefillin. Right? V'lokim yodeya. Now he says, please bear with me. Okay, I'll go. He says such a beautiful thing. He, if you remember, we've come across so many times the humility of the Chavis Halbavis. So he says, look, I don't know if I'm right, he's about to say. And only Hashem knows why he did anything. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make believe. I know what was in Hashem's mind. But maybe it's true, and Hashem has other reasons, and Hashem has many reasons for things he does, and we're not privy to them because he's Hashem. And like, what? We're humans. We're nothing we're nothing, less than nothing. So he says, I don't know, maybe I'm right. Who knows? But Kim Yodeya, in Ba'avura Lohoyu Kolabrios, B'Demusachos Utzmuna Achas, Hashem knows if that's the reason that not everything is as one. Look, his wisdom is beyond our comprehension. We mentioned one of many possible reasons that we can't even fathom. It's not for me to say why Hashem did something. Like, I don't know. To him, Hachochma Hamagaz, Veina Lokami Baladov. And, you know, I explained what it seemed to me. That's all. So I told you over also Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, which is Rashi, you know. Chavzovus was before Rashi, but Rashi says, just to inspire us, and I said over another thing, which I think is a very common idea, so I took the liberty of saying it over. Okay, we finished the whole paragraph. Look at that.